Okay, so after creation?
After creation, I said, I've had enough of this band stuff, I'm not playing. And I didn't. My friend, the drummer, Iris Corbin, she joined some band, and we were called, I believe, Nikki Dufresne and Gossip. And it was a guy, front guy, and then all girls backing him up. And they were together for a while, and that band broke up. And she and this girl, one of the lead singers in that band named Karen, found some players, and they put an all-female band together. And then my friend Iris said, well, Susie, I think you should join this band because it needs another guitar player.
And that band is called what?
Dreamer.
So you joined Dreamer in what year?
Yep. That would be 1978.
So you're back to an all-female band again.
Yeah, we're back to an all-female band, and we were really good. I mean, we had some originals. They were pretty darn good, actually. I've got some recordings of a couple of them.
Did that band travel?
Yeah, all over the place. But we ended up, you know, going through a bunch of changes because, you know, women don't always get along. And so we got through some changes and egos and all kinds of stuff like that. So Dreamer went through several personnel changes, but the nucleus was Sherry Star Parrish and Iris Corbin. Sherry was the bass player, Iris was the drummer, and myself. And we stayed together till 1986. And then we put a reunion concert together with some of the members that had left.
So
and
that
put them back together.
So that lasted from 1978 all the way to 1986?
Yeah.
That's a long run.
Yeah, it's a long run, but there were several personnel changes except for Iris, Sherry, and myself.
So after Dreamer, what do you do?
I'm working a job, several jobs, and I'm actually really working. It's actually what I ended up retiring from, was electronics. We decided to put a band together just for weekend stuff, just because we wanted to play. And so that would be Sherry, and that would be Iris and myself, and Larry Hill, who was actually a sound guy for us for a year or two. And he plays guitar, and he sings, and he's a good singer. So we put Release together, and we played for about a year. But it just didn't, I mean, you working a job and trying to work play weekends and keep everything together, it just didn't work out anymore. So we quit.
And what time period was Release playing?
1992, 93.
I'm curious about the difference in playing in a band in Minnesota compared to playing in a band in Colorado. Was there a difference?
Yes. Everybody that I ran into in Colorado, there was hardly anybody that knew how to jam. I mean, they were just working on songs and playing songs, but nobody knew how to get into a jam and get into it, you know? That was one thing I noticed right away, and I also noticed when I first moved out here that Colorado was kind of behind the times as far as music. They were getting it later than Minneapolis.
How would you explain that?
I don't know. I really don't know why, but, I mean, the musicians out here that I met didn't know how to jam. And I think, you know, like I say, the Minneapolis musicians and the Minnesota musicians always hung out together. And they always jammed together, and they trade licks back together and ideas and stuff. And out here, it's not like that.
Did you do any recording in Colorado?
Yes, we did. We recorded in, Dreamer recorded one original and some cover tunes in Boulder, Colorado. And I can't remember the name of that studio right off the top of my head. And then there was another one that was in Conifer. And we recorded two originals up there. After Dreamer disbanded and Release disbanded, I have my own little studio at my house. And so I write and I record, and I have my good friend Ron Byrne has a recording studio called Naked Ear Recording Studio. He would come and help record. We'd record at his studio first. Letter Play was the first album, and we recorded that at his studio. Reach for the Sky was the second CD, and we recorded that at his studio. And then Always a Dreamer was recorded in my studio. Reflections of a Dreamer was recorded in my studio. And my last one was Where in the Blues, and I did that in 2012.
The last one was, the last two were solo CDs?
Yeah, but I also try to include Sherry and Iris when they're available. So some of the stuff I played everything, and most of the time the drums were done by Iris and Sherry, the bass. But some of them I did myself because they weren't available, and I just do them.
And I believe you did a couple reunion CDs with the 19th Amendment also out there, correct?
Yes, we did, and that was a hoot. That was so much fun. Honest to God, that was fun. We recorded in my studio so long ago, is the name of the song, and it was about the band. And I had sent out practice copies prior to them converging in Colorado, and they came in on a Thursday, and we had wine, and we had pizza, and we had chicken, and we had beer, and we did some videos, and we did some pictures, and we recorded the song, and then we partied. And then we went to my friend Ron's recording studio, Naked Ear, and he took some professional pictures so we could have some nice pictures on that CD. Then we did another recording this past October 2013, and we had tried and tried to get everybody together to do this, and Jackie was not able to do that because her mother is in Minnesota, and she's having to try to get her moved, and it just didn't work out, and Judy was not able to make it because she's got her granddaughter in school, and so she was not able to make it. So Gail and Whitey and I did it, and we recorded it, and I had written another one. So that was Where Is the Time Gone? And over 5 years, I wrote before they came out, and we sat down, and we jammed it, and we recorded it. And that's kind of my point. You know, we were able to jam and do a song without, you know, rehearsing and just, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, and on the first reunion CD, which members were on that CD?
That would be myself, Gail Young, Jackie Balzer-Tyan, and Judy Cottrell Enberg, and Kathy Whitey Johnson.
So what are you doing now as far as music?
I still write. I've got one song completed on my board. I've got another one that I just have the drums down now, and when I get some time, I go out there and work on them. You know, I hope to get another album done at some point in my life, but we'll see what happens.
What kind of guitar do you play now?
I have a HSS Strat, which I dearly love, and I also have a Gibson Les Paul Studio Pro, which has the weight relief, so it's not quite so heavy, and that sucker is great. I love that, so I use that for recording. I have what they call a VG Strat, and that's got active electronics in it, and you can play it, make it sound like a 12-string. You can detune it just by turning buttons. So I use that in recordings. I have an Ovation. I have another guitar, Gibson guitar, called The Paul, and I have a bass, which is an EB3 Epiphone.
I didn't know you played bass guitar.
I can play.
What kind of music do you listen to now for enjoyment?
My favorite right now is blues. I love blues, and Joe Bonamassa is one of my absolute favorite guitar players in the whole world.
So looking back over your time playing in bands, starting way back in 1964, which time period did you enjoy the most and why?
Whoa, that's not an easy question, Tom. That's really not an easy question. That's not fair, because I enjoyed playing with Dreamer immensely. I mean, we played Air Force bases. We played all over the place, and we were super popular. And I enjoyed playing with Dreamer. I enjoyed playing with the last 19th Amendment immensely. And so I can't really pick which I like better, although I did like being in Minneapolis as far as the musicians and being around them and hanging out and everybody, you know, the camaraderie and, you know, the trading licks and what are you doing now, let's go jam or something like that. That never happened in Colorado. So that part of the 19th Amendment era would certainly take precedence over Dreamer. However, Dreamer was very popular, and I enjoyed playing with Dreamer too.
Susie, thank you for taking the time to share with us about your experience in the music business.
You're certainly welcome, Tom.
The preceding interview was recorded on October 5th, 2014 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Danny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.
Put 'em up.